Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom at BBS for enabling this regular show. I'm in the third year of shows now, and there's quite an archive of material during that period. I work under the logo Zero Point, which is a word taken from H.P. Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, published in 1888. And the idea is that all living human beings and other types of beings, have a zero-point center. And what that means is that there is a zero-point source of life and light within the human being. And just as the universe originated at a singularity point and grew within without from a singularity, similarly a human being has a singularity point within the higher dimensional physics of the human heart, that we, in a way, have a zero-point center as living beings. So I work under Zero Point Institute for Mystical and Spiritual Science because I study widely in the esoteric traditions, including Blavatsky, Kabbalah and Judaism, mystical Christianity, teachings of Gurdjieff, yogic Vedic teachings, and other teachings. And I'm interested in the nature of reality. And through my 30 years of studies now, I've come to some ideas which I think are profoundly important, which you otherwise will never be exposed to within the educational system or the media. And the one is the idea of the heart doctrine, that a human being's consciousness and experience of self originates out of the human heart, which actually has a higher dimensional physics to it. And our self-experiences emerges out of the heart, and that consciousness is not produced by the mind or brain in the head. The mind and the brain in the head is secondary to the self within the heart. So I elaborate the heart doctrine, and then the heart doctrine is related to the zero-point concept, because the heart center is a zero-point center, and it's tied into the higher dimensional physics of reality or creation. Now, today is going to be a three-part show a little bit. In the first part, I have a half hour before I have a guest who I'll introduce at a later point. And I'll be on with my guest for an hour. And then in the final half hour of the show, I'd like to read a book review done of my book, God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine. I've had an excellent review of this book, and I'd like to read it on air and explain some of it. And that is also, it's featured on my website. The lady who wrote the review, Donna Brown, is associated with the Online Journal of Esoteric Studies. So the links are up on my website to this book review. So I want to save that for the last half hour of today's show. When I began the show, it used to focus exclusively on kind of mystical ideas and spiritual psychology and creation physics and things along that line. But then 2.5 years ago, I began to wake up to the truth of 9/11 and then learning more and more about all the things being done in the world and the advancement of the New World Order and learning about all kinds of things like chemtrails and inoculations and poisons in the food, just all the deviant things being done within our societies. And so since that time, over the last couple of years, I guess, the mystical discussion and spiritual science aspect of the show is kind of interblended with commentary on what's happening in the world and the kind of collective psychoses of humankind, trying to understand the pathology of what has happened to our countries and society and civilization. Our countries are so enormous. The problems of our country are so enormous and seemingly overwhelming. Last night I was up on my website and thinking about today's show, and I wanted to describe something, so I wrote on the screen, on waking up in an insane asylum with psychopaths, perverts, and pedophiles in control of the world, trying to bring about the fulfillment of their, quote, old age psychiatric disorder, which they like to think is a, quote, new world order. Kind of reflects a little bit of how, since waking up, I have experienced being in life. It's like I've woken up and realized I'm in an insane asylum. These people are insane. They're insane. You just think of the fraud of 9/11, and it was carried off, and they completely deceived the whole country of the United States and Canada and the world community, the whole thing as a fraud. And all these people were conditioned and told what to believe. It's unbelievable. So many people think Osama bin Laden and his reindeer brought down those two towers, and the whole thing was a fraud. The whole thing. And now it's come out so many other frauds. Almost everything we're told on the media is a fraud. I watch the mainstream media now. It's like a joke. It's like a soap opera. They're not news reporters. They're actors. They're actors spinning a tale and telling you lies. It's so full of propaganda to make sure you know none of the essential truths of what's happening in our societies and countries. It's unbelievable. The whole TV and the newspapers and the magazines, it's all consistent propaganda. And these people, they're pathological liars on the media. That's what they are. They're paid well, but they're pathological liars. And so many people have become complicit in these crimes. Just think of the crimes that we've perpetrated, we meaning like Western countries, like the invasion of Afghanistan, supposedly to protect U.S. from Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And the whole thing was a boogeyman. Had nothing to do with that. It was for military dominance, oil, drug trade, all these other things. We were just told a whole pack of lies. The war in Afghanistan, hundreds of thousands of people murdered. And then we move on, a war in Iraq, 1.4 million people now murdered. And another war, all based on lies. And lies, Saddam was a madman with weapons of mass destruction. The whole time, the only one ever to give Saddam weapons of mass destruction was the United States. All the chemical weapons. The world has gone insane. You look at what's happening in the world around you. Israel's threatened to begin a preemptive war against Iran because Iran might get a nuclear weapon. But Israel has hundreds of them. Israel's never abided by the UN non-proliferation treaties. They've never disclosed what they have. Israel's been in flagrant violation of all the charters. Israel's been censored at the UN over 100 times for things. It's like there's complete lawlessness. So here's this nation with hundreds of nuclear bombs threatening to destroy parts of another country because they might get a nuclear bomb. Like, how insane. You see, it's an insane asylum. And the people on the media will sell you this. They'll sell you why Israel has a right to protect themselves and so why they should be allowed to commit another mass murder. And Americans will pay for it. You give them millions of dollars a day, billions in a year. While your country is controlled by this Zionist and Israeli lobby and the deviancy of these people involved in the New World psychiatric disorder, it's just an insane world. These people are treated as if they're dignitaries. Yeah, dignitaries, the elites, they think they're elites. See, that's why I see you wake up and you realize, my God, our countries are run by psychopaths. These people have engaged in criminal laws to deceive their own public. In Canada, Canadians supported our troops being in Afghanistan because we thought we had a right to defend the Western civilization from Muslims who don't like our freedoms. BS that we got. An Al-Qaeda boogeyman. And they made up some nice clips for on TV. You always see the same ones. They don't have much of a library of clips. The whole thing is such a fraud. We have become the terrorists. And the media cover it all up and sell it all as propaganda. We think we're the saviors, saving, spreading democracy. Yes, spreading democracy, a shock and awe. 1.4 million people have been murdered in Iraq. Another 4 to 5 have been homeless and refugees. Others, hundreds of thousands are injured, and children, and deformities, and the weaponry used, and the depleted uranium. It's insane. It's insane. We have a group of insane, criminally psychopathic leaders in control of our countries. And it's not just the United States. It's the same in Canada, England, France, all these countries. They've all been complicit. What country speaks the truth of what's happening in the world? It's incredible. We've lost, the American dream became the American nightmare. And that these people have no respect for your servicemen. They're given all kinds of shots. They have all kinds of illnesses. 170,000 soldiers with head injuries. They come back. They're so traumatized through their life. And then the government doesn't want to pay their medical costs now. It's just insane. There's 400,000 disabled American vets from the Gulf War and all the inoculations and poisons they had. For what purpose? People think it's okay for the project of a new American century to plan that they want full global dominance, military dominance for the United States. And the people of the country pay for this. And America has military bases, like 800 of them or so in 140 countries around the world. It's insane. We don't want it. We've become the terrorists. We've created this fanciful Muslim thing, but they weren't the terrorists the whole time. We have this mass psychosis which has overtaken people. See, it's like waking up in an insane asylum. And so now all this truth about 9/11's come out, and you have the completely fraud media, and then you have the truth networks where there's people around the world who are beginning to wake up and realize the crimes of our government. It's just incredible. It's like J. Edgar Hoover said, the normal person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. And it's true. People are so lulled into sleep through the media a lot. All the media, you're lulled into sleep like sheep. You believe what you've been told. You haven't seen through all the lies and deceptions. Ron Paul had such good ideas. He said, America is not meant to be like this. You know, that wasn't the aim in our Constitution or what America should be as a country. We don't have to have worldwide military dominance. The U.S. now, they're ready to bomb, they interfere in Pakistan. Pakistan more and using weapons against people in Pakistan, and now more soldiers in Afghanistan, and they're encircling Iran, they're encroaching on Russia and China. They don't care if they lead us into a nuclear war. It just helps them commit the genocide they plan. They will put our lives in such at risk for their egomaniac, psychotic plans. And these people, they all got their underground places they're going to hide away in, and they stored food up, and they'll just murder the people who live on the surface. They don't care. These people are criminal psychopaths. They're insane. They don't care. They think it's okay to conspire to commit mass murder. And it is okay, because they control the CIA, the FBI, FEMA, RCMP, all the military, the police, and intelligence services are all complicit. You see, you can't go, the police don't arrest anyone anymore. I mean, they'll arrest some poor black guy who's got drugs on him or something. But they don't arrest the real criminals. The real criminals have complete free rein. They can do whatever they want. It's staring everybody in the face the whole time. It's just unbelievable. Humankind has gone insane. I've woken up and I'm living in an insane asylum. Complete lawlessness. The governments all know 9/11 was an inside job. The media all know that. The police know that. But nothing's done. Everybody is just rendered so impotent. Turn on your TV. Maybe Viagra's the trick. Maybe a football game, some beer. While you drink fluoridated water, you breathe in chemtrails from the sky. They've poisoned our countries coast to coast. All of the aluminum and barium salts from the planes and viral matter, carcinogens, they spread illness. Because then they turn around and they sell all their pharmaceuticals through all your fraud doctors, and they make more money. They can spread sickness, and then they got medications for you. And all the weapons, all the money's put into devising all the most devious, horrendous types of weapons that they want to design. They take things like bird flus and then they kind of mutate it and they develop some kind of weaponized virus. And then they come out with inoculations, because if their virus that they've created is ever released, they better have inoculations. So if they don't get you with the virus, they'll get you with the inoculations. Or they can spread the virus through the inoculations. The whole thing is crazy. There's 250 million doses of these things for American people. You can use them when you go to your FEMA camps. If you're not in tent cities or prisons. We've been taken over by a completely group of insane people, criminals. Now in the States they want to ban organic gardening or make people register a garden. You can be fined $1 million a day if you have unregistered garden and might grow some celery. Like, it's insane. Health Canada doesn't protect the health of Canadians. It lets them, it puts aspartame in the food, and everyone's drinking aspartame, and all the diabetes and mental deterioration and the fluoride in the water to dummy them down and cause bone problems, and there's so many poisons. Genetically modified foods, which cause all kinds of cancers, they're unnatural substances, and they're taking over the food supply, introducing more and more GM crops. And you don't have the right to know when you're eating GM foods. It's just unbelievable what's being done to the masses of people in North America and around the world by these criminal elites. The conspiracy theories were always true. There really are these kinds of people in the world. I try to understand it as a psychologist, and I'm a forensic psychologist. So I worked in prisons in Canada for 12 years with young offenders and then adults. But most of the people I worked with, like, they were all pretty decent guys for the most part. They were just people came from bad backgrounds and got into drugs or drinking too much and got in trouble or lost their tempers and things like that. Pretty minor charges, most of the people we have in jails. The real psychopaths aren't in the jails. The real psychopaths, they're the ones who commit mass murder. See, it's like you commit a big enough mass murder and you're not a criminal anymore. You're an ex-president or you're a whatever. And all these people complicit in it. All the senators and everyone complicit in all these crimes and deception of the American people. It's just unbelievable. So we wake up like you wake up. It's like we're being in an insane asylum. And the doctors now, they're being more and more controlled by the pharmaceutical mafia. They put more and more inoculations and petrochemical pharmaceutical drugs into people. They don't know anything about nutrition. They don't see the deviousness of what they're involved in. And they don't say anything. They don't speak out. Nobody speaks out. Where's the medical associations? Where's the Food and Drug Administration? These agencies don't protect us. They allow these things to be done. It's just incredible. And everything's a lie. UN's a lie. UN's a lie. They don't reveal the criminality of what's being done, the criminality of these wars. No one speaks out. There's no truth or justice anymore. There isn't. I'm a double Libra. Libra is the symbol for Libra is a scales and justice scales. I'm also the justice critic for the Canadian Action Party. I believe in justice. It's part of like what I try to be as a spiritual person, a person like wanting to be moral in my life and have some spiritual sense of myself and the spiritual significance of other living beings. To me, it's insane. It's like waking up, these people are all insane. There's no morality anymore. You're just so deceived in everything. Christians, you look at your churches. Your churches are completely fraudulent. Where are the churches? Don't they believe thou shalt not kill? Is that kind of old-fashioned now? Or love thy neighbor as thyself? So all these Christians go out and support presidents and military that invades a country and murders 1.4 million people for oil and drugs and military power and extend the Israeli-American world fascist megalomania. Where are people? We have to wake up, people. My God, what's become of us as a race of human beings? What's become of your country? What's become of your constitution? What's become of the Geneva Accords? What's come of, is there no sane logic? Can no one see that buildings 150 stories don't fall down in 15 seconds in their own footprints because of a little bit of plane gas burning away? Like, do people have no sense of reality anymore? They don't. They don't believe what you're told, like little sheep being led to slaughter. And they call it the New World Order, eh? I love Henry Kissinger talking about his New World Order. I think, how many millions of people has Henry Kissinger been involved in mass murdering through his life? Well, there's Vietnam, the 2 million people there, and Cambodia, 6 million, you know, Iran, and in there, there's probably a million in there, and then the Iraq-Iran war, and millions there, and Central America and South America, and he was involved in Mao, and the Mao murdered like 50, 60 million people in China. You could probably add Henry Kissinger's mass murdering up. He's probably murdered 100 million people in his life. been involved in mass murdering that many people. He even writes it on the statement. Oh, I think it would be nice to reduce the world's population to 500 million or some eugenic aim. These people even put these things on paper. They're conspiracies that commit mass murder. We think we need population reduction. There's various ways we could accomplish this. We can impoverish people. We can take away all their food. Maybe we can aggravate nuclear exchanges. How do we reduce the world's populations? And these people do it. They do it on paper. They develop the weapons. People have gone insane. We live in an insane culture and society. And now there's a worldwide movement of people waking up. And see, so many people who became part of the beast had no idea what they were really involved with and the depth of it all and the horrendous nature of what it is. Because so many people who are involved in it, this is not going to benefit you or your children or your neighbors or your mother and father or your cats and dogs. We will all die. When a person is born, you're guaranteed to die in your life. Don't sell your souls. Don't sell your souls. That's what happens. People sell their souls. Mainly for money, sex, and power. The three lower levels and motivations of human beings. They lose their souls to money, sex, and power. And every dog can have its day. What's happened to our civilization is just unbelievable. As a clinical and forensic psychologist, it's like waking up and I live in an insane asylum. The people on the TV are pathological liars. Our government is pathological liars. We're controlled. We don't even know who's behind it all. They steal the wealth of a nation. $10 trillion in the States, all given to all these bankers who did all the bank frauds and inflated the money markets and caused all these world economic problems. So they're going to be bailed out by the American people. It's all insane. And they persuade it's for you that they're doing this. And they're going to invest in your country. And all they want to invest in is more militarization and observation and war on terror and phony carbon taxes to save you from the phony war on global warming. Their phony landing on the moon. Everything is such a fraud. It's a complete fraud. Not only in the United States and Canada and England. What's happened to our civilization is just unspeakable. The tragedy of it all and how unnecessary it all was. There's so much abundance on the earth. If we'd never had the control of the world, political, social, military, and corporate, if we hadn't had all that fascist control over the lives of humankind on this planet, we all could have lived in abundance and had longevity and positive health. There's so much abundance on the earth. We just waste it all. Billions and billions and trillions into weapons and all different kinds of ways to murder people. So insane. It's an insane world. Breaks my heart at times. You know, in the mystical tradition, the idea is the awakening of the heart. But sometimes Gurdjieff talks about what he calls the sorrow of our endlessness. And sometimes I feel that all the suffering of humankind. You know, I look at these pictures on TV or on the internet of these poor kids in Iraq and Afghanistan and all these people, the suffering they go through. While these lunatics and madmen at the heads of our nations, ready to just have more and more war and murdering people. Complete lawlessness in our society.
If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Brains.
Okay, welcome. That's my rant for the day. That's what I realized. I wrote, I woke up and realized I'm in an insane world run by psychopaths and corrupted military and police and intelligence. I'm just overwhelmed with the terror of it all, of what's been done to us and what's happening to our civilization. So I'm going to... Now we're going to turn to a guest who is a professor of globalization studies in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. And this gentleman's name is Anthony Hall. And I just read one of his papers, and I'd just like to read one quote out of it before I begin. He became with another group in Canada protesting Bush's visit to Canada and demanding that Bush be arrested as a war criminal. And Tony's been one of the very few academics to speak out or to try to rouse people to awareness of what's happening in our society. And this paper is called the Bush League Justice. And it's circulated on the internet, and I hope people will search that out. This is Professor Anthony Hall. And just here's one quote that especially struck me. Talks towards the end of his papers about the lies of 9/11. And he's talking about the failure to protect us that from those enemies that menace us must lie with journalists, mainstream media outlets, professors, and the universities that employ us. It is we who have in the vast majority of cases chosen to abandon our skepticism and with it our professional ethics and responsibility. He goes on, it is a mass treason of the intellectuals that constitutes the most significant underlying conditioning resulting in the continuing fraud known as the War on Terror. And this is so true. We look around and say, where are the doctors? Where are the academics? Where are our politicians? Where are the police? The complicity of silence is deafening. And there's one today, I'm honored to have this gentleman who's really put himself out on the line to write a paper as he does this Bush League Justice, and he will be sharing with us his ongoing activities. And thank you, Tony, for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
I managed to get through your paper, really very excellent. And maybe you want to recap a little bit and how you became involved, partly in terms of George Bush's visit to Calgary.
Yeah, my friend and associate and colleague Splitting the Sky gave me a call about a month before Bush came to Calgary, and was kind of surprised to know that he would be arriving on our front door. Calgary is like an oil town, pretty much a colony of Dallas and Houston. It's a lot of ex-Texans, and it's a very right-wing kind of police state orientation, Bible Belt and that kind of thing. So it was clear to us that we had to do something. So I wrote that paper. I had been invited to give a visiting lecture at the University of Winnipeg on March the 6th, and I presented it in an academic forum. The paper really has got out onto dozens, if not hundreds, of websites. It was translated immediately into French on VoltaireNet. And I did notice that within a couple of days it was listed as one of the top stories in France. It's pretty much been a cover-up of what actually transpired here in Alberta. But the news is getting out globally, and we hope we're sending a signal loud and clear that Cheney, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, and, of course, the CEO, George Bush, who signed off on all of these terrible things, they should not be allowed to travel around as if they're just private citizens cashing in on their celebrity. They haven't had trials, so you're innocent until proven guilty. We're not going to say that they get thrown down in the dungeon and not tried and possibly tortured and possibly killed, like has happened to hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands under their watch. We know a million killed in Iraq. Our own soldiers are in Afghanistan. I mean, our own soldiers by Canadian soldiers. Over 100 of them are killed based on this fraudulent and phony interpretation of what happened on 9/11. So these this cabal are clearly clearly need to face some sort of juridical process, in preferably in an international court, because the United States is such a corrupt system. You know, to become president of the United States, Barack Obama has had to sell his soul in so many different directions that he is just going along with the lies and crimes of 9/11, going into Afghanistan to track down Al-Qaeda. If you do any reading at all, you know, Al-Qaeda is very internal to the national security state of the United States. It was developed by U.S. officials, CIA, working through the ISI in Pakistan. The original reason for building it up was to take down the Soviet-backed puppet regime in Afghanistan. So Al-Qaeda is a kind of boogeyman. In a sense, terrorism has become a business opportunity for big interests in the United States and around the world. And as you say, if you can read, if you can apply a little bit of logic, the situation in the world is just so different than the public mythology that is presented to us on the mainstream media that it is almost overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. And I know when I woke up to it, I've never been political. It was only 2.5 years ago, my youngest son, who was 15, asked me if I'd seen Loose Change. And I had no idea there was even controversy about 9/11. I watched that and could tell immediately that we'd been told we'd been deceived. Like, it was just so obvious, and it takes time to put it together more, all what's underlying it.
Yeah, I think it's beyond any reasonable doubt that the three towers hit by two planes could not have fallen that way through simple burning kerosene, creating some kind of melt and then gravity taking down buildings. They couldn't have fallen that way. Richard Gage has certainly brought that out, and now there's a new paper demonstrating that there was a, and this is a peer-reviewed paper in a major journal, this came out a couple of days ago, that making it clear that there was thermite in the Twin Towers, in the destruction at the bottom of the Twin Towers. In other words, it's beyond any reasonable measure of doubt that it was controlled demolitions rather than jet airplane fuel fire plus gravity that brought down those towers.
It's not just like you have one or two bits of evidence. There's overwhelming evidence. There's hundreds of firefighters and news media people who report secondary explosions,
yeah,
and all over the towers, and you see it in the squibs and the falling towers. It's overwhelming evidence.
Yeah.
Like it's like the problem isn't one of evidence anymore. Like, no sane, impartial person could believe the official myth anymore.
Yeah, and there's not one part of the official myth that holds together. There's some object that hits the Pentagon, but it's obviously not a huge passenger airliner. NORAD just happened to be on a drill that drew its all the air defense of the United States away. And to my way of thinking, as I bring out in that paper, say we do accept the idea that this was a failure of intelligence and a failure of counterintelligence and a failure of air defense and a failure of immigration policy. That it was just a bunch of failures of the supposedly the most powerful and certainly the most expensive military-industrial complex in the world. Has one person been fired? If it was all these failures, has anybody stepped forward to do a mea culpa on this or that? So this lie that the U.S. government puts out and the media supports them in, that it was all security failure. I mean, that's contradicted by the fact that nobody is made to take account of or be accountable for or be responsible for those alleged failures. So it's hard to come to terms with it, the magnitude of it all. It's hard to believe yourself at first, you know, because you think, geez, how could I be seeing this and all these powerful institutions are wrong, and yet that's what it is, and we've got to proceed now, you know, to go into a lot of detail about 9/11 being caused by 19 Saudi Arabians allegedly with box cutters and a bit of flight training and a lot of jihadist zeal. That is not a plausible story. It's an insult to anybody with some degree of education or ability to read and put together evidence, and the people who work in our mainstream media have to be treated as more or less complicit now in international crimes. I'm talking about your mainstream journalists, and I think it's just a shameful thing for the academy. I mean, if there's one responsibility that we have at the university, one might say, it's to be able to distinguish what is true from not what is not true, or what might be true or probably is true from what absolutely isn't true, and all the shades of nuance in between. What a failure of our institutions, and how liberating it was to kind of take responsibility, because I situate myself in that. It wasn't until last September that I really stepped forward with a paper called The Lies and Crimes of 9/11. A Canadian view of the war on terror's origins. I mean, it wasn't until 2008 that I was able to put it together enough to step forward. There's four or five of us here in Canada, tenured academics who talk about it, like Professor McQueen and Professor Kiefer at the University of Guelph, and Professor John McMurtry, who was onto it right away. Professor McMurtry is a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, a very distinguished philosopher. But it's just a handful of people who are willing to talk about it. The idea that if I say David Ray Griffin in an academic audience, I mean, I think we're at the point now that I shouldn't have to describe who David Ray Griffin is. He's written a small library of books about different aspects of 9/11, and he's clearly more or less widely recognized as the dean of 9/11 studies. If I say Peter Dale Scott, a very great Canadian, his father was a famous poet and civil libertarian, a former dean of the McGill Law School, F.R. Scott, a founder of our left-wing socialist party, the New Democratic Party of Canada. His son, Peter Dale Scott, who's now professor emeritus and who worked on deep politics in relationship to the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which is a shame on your country that this still to this day has not been explained, and everybody knows that the official account is just not plausible. Peter Dale Scott has written a book, The Road to 9/11. I mean, he gets into the history of Al-Qaeda, the history of using terrorism as a business opportunity. If we go into the history, for instance, of the Lahore base, Lahore is in Pakistan, the Lahore based Bank of Credit and Commerce International, we start to see all the dealings of the various drug cartels, the CIA, so-called Al-Qaeda, the people selling nuclear secrets to Pakistan and this kind of thing. They're all doing their business in this Pakistani based bank. And, you know, where did that business go to? What's going on with the stinking, rotten system in our banking institutions? All of that kind of business went into, I think, the mainstream institutions. So we need to be connecting the so-called war on terror, which is endeavoring to create and is creating the whole global economy based around this, this mythology. We could call it a terror economy. And the kind of ruthlessness in the banking institutions that we're seeing now, where taxpayers who actually pay their taxes are being called upon to bail out people who don't pay their taxes because they put their money in tax havens and we're really at a kind of, I have to say, a revolutionary moment. How much are we expected to take? How much bullshit? How much more lies are we expected to swallow without just saying, no, you've lost any legitimacy, you've lost any credibility to these sleazy media cartel papers, newspapers, and TV stations, for instance, which really are the center of the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of CIA and the intelligence agencies, I mean, they were involved in Hollywood so early on, and
back
they knew
in
how
World
important
War I,
the media
actually.
Was for their propaganda machine.
Yeah, but we're so far beyond what we have understood as the CIA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all privatized now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been contracted out. I guess Blackwater, the mercenary army, is a good model or example, but it's not just that one company.
No.
So the old CIA has now been retooled and transformed into, you know, multiple private companies that are all intertwined with Wall Street, with the media cartels, and it becomes bewildering, and it really is increasingly difficult for us to make any mark with our ballot, with our vote. I mean, so many of the decisions just have nothing to do anymore with who gets elected into office.
No, I mean, the shadow government and cartel control all the major parties, I mean, in the States, as they do in Canada. Like, there's not one of the four or five political parties in Canada that would begin to mention 9/11 truth. It's, they all maintain, they all have that complicity of silence. And as you say, it's like the media, people in the media, like the Nuremberg decisions apply to these people. They can't just say that, oh, they were just doing their job. I mean, they've knowingly become accessories to mass murder and co-conspirators to commit genocide and like all
and they,
these
and they should be
things.
Treated as such. And university presidents, and, you know, professors of political science and international affairs, they shouldn't be accepted as you know, being able to just move around in polite company, given the degree of complicity in these crimes. Of course, the focus on George Bush as really the most reviled human being on the planet, the most obvious candidate for war criminal, and, you know, he hasn't had a fair trial. He hasn't had a trial yet. I really want to hear what he says in his defense. I especially want to hear what Dick Cheney has to say. And we got to get Dick Cheney on the witness stand before his ticker conks out there.
Yeah.
But really, when you and so we've got to deal with the Bush, with the Cheney, because, you know, they're signing authorities, especially Bush. I mean, they sign off on all of this stuff. But when we really consider where is the criminality centered, you know, how is it that these huge crimes against humanity are able to take place? The Israeli government lobs in all kinds of weaponry into Gaza, into people who are, you know, walled and can't escape the onslaught. You know, this just goes on as if this is a normal thing. I mean, how is this done? How is this structured so this kind of atrocity can happen? I mean, I'm increasingly viewing the media cartels, and behind the media cartels, what they call public relations agencies. I mean, if you're going to do an invasion of Iraq, you hire a public relations agency, and that public relations agency, Hill and Knowlton, for instance, created a fiction that a bunch of Iraqi soldiers went into a nursery and smashed babies.
Yeah,
you know, this was just a showbiz thing. I mean, it really goes back to, well, there's many sources of it. Joseph Goebbels in Germany would be an important one. But who was Joseph Goebbels reading? There's a nephew of Sigmund Freud, Edward Bernays.
Yeah.
He wrote a book in the 20s called Propaganda. And then he got the idea that propaganda was the word was a bit tarnished by the German regime. So he came up with the phrase public relations. One of his first big scams was to sell cigarettes to women on Easter parade in New York. He got a bunch of suffragettes to light up as a kind of photo opportunity. And he called these cigarettes torches of freedom and tried to develop the idea that, you know, this was a way for women to show their equality. Then in the U.S. overthrow of the elected regime in Guatemala in the early 1950s, he was in charge of the so-called public relations element of making this U.S.-backed coup of the Arbenz regime, elected government, which was trying some sort of land reform in Guatemala. That regime was overthrown, and there was a whole media onslaught to cover up what was really going on and make it look like some kind of indigenous freedom movement to eject communists.
That's what we have come out so much about. All the wars have been based on these frauds, like the Gulf of Tonkin incident is the basis for Vietnam. So many of the incidents, the London train bombing, the Oklahoma City bombings, the assassination of Kennedy, all these things, the police never catch anyone, really. All of these things go by and...
Well, it is the police who do it. I mean, that was very interesting to see in Calgary when George Bush was, you know, in the TELUS Convention Center hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, it wasn't only me operating on this cause here. For instance, Gail Davidson was interviewed, Lawyers Against War was interviewed by Oberman on NBC in the United States. The only really proper coverage we got was on, you know, mainstream media, ironically, in the United States. But there was a very clear police plant. Among the protesters, and all the media focused on the police plant.
Oh, the fellow in the red shirt?
Yeah, the fellow in
the orange.
I
saw that video, and when I saw that, it looked to me it was like one of their staged things.
Yeah,
like
it was
a staged thing
to draw attention away from the real, because, you know, I worked from the beginning with Splitting the Sky. He very courageously attempted a citizen's arrest after doing everything in his power to get the police to uphold the law, once the police said no, they're not going to arrest him, he broke police lines very expertly. He was then pulled onto the ground, flipped like a pancake, battered and beaten around, handcuffed, gets up and continues to affirm and assert, arrest George Bush, arrest George Bush. I mean, our so-called protest was not directed at the fact that we don't like George Bush. Of course we don't like George Bush, but the real dynamic of the protest was to, or of the action, was to put pressure on our law enforcement agencies, from the Prime Minister, the Minister of Immigration, the Minister of Justice, right down to the police who were guarding the door at the TELUS Convention Center, to put pressure on them to enforce the law, because in Canada we have a War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. Our Minister of Justice and Ministry of Justice make it clear that Canada is not to be a haven for war criminals. George Galloway, the peace activist from Britain and a parliamentarian of 23 years, 2 days later was kept out of Canada based on these same laws. So we had this dynamic. You've read my article. My article was available, weeks before the event. Lawyers Against War brought all the appropriate evidence to the respective officials. But the local media denied us proper coverage by describing the real nature of the action. The real nature of the action was directed at pressuring law enforcement agencies to enforce the law rather than simply enforce the political agenda of their political masters. And when you have law enforcement not upholding the law and essentially signaling that law is only for those on the street people, say, or those lower down on the scale, but those at the highest end can get away with literally murder of millions of people, and can be wined and dined in Calgary, this was to test the water, certainly, and we wanted to send out a signal that, okay, you want to test the waters, this is the nature of the waters. And by the way, where is George Bush right now in the United States? And how come you don't have citizens constantly, assembling to do what we did, to try to get law enforcement agencies, even if right up to Barack Obama, you have, criminal complicity not to enforce the law, but citizens still have a responsibility to everything in our power. When we know crimes are being committed, we should do everything in our power to see that the law is enforced. So where is Dick Cheney in your country right now? Where is George Bush in your country right now? Where is Condoleezza Rice? Are they, you know, is Condoleezza Rice going to teach at Stanford and act as if she's a respectable hoi polloi professor, or are you going to have you know, some decent citizens' actions? Philip Zelikow, the fraud artist, the professor who put together the fraud called the 9/11 Commission Report. I mean, he's professor. He's got professional associations. Where is he teaching? So the purpose of, you know, what we're doing in this in Calgary is to try to get across this idea that as citizens, if the law enforcement agencies aren't going to respect the law, we as citizens are going to have to do the best we can to see that the rule of law prevails over the rule of terror and force and tyranny, like we're seeing.
Yeah, and all lies, like the complete hypocrisy of the RCMP. Like, they say, oh, we serve and protect. Yeah, they serve and protect a criminal mass murderer when he comes to Canada. That's who they serve and protect. I mean,
that's
the
right.
same way you had Henry Kissinger visit Montreal months ago. And they're out there, they serve and protect Henry Kissinger.
Yeah, and they will taser to death, you know, an immigrant from Poland. There's a big investigation into a fellow who was killed by taser. You know, how many dozens of people have been killed with tasers? Aren't tasers a way for law enforcement agencies to kill citizens and not have to take accountability for it? But yes, the RCMP, you know, there's scandal after scandal of the RCMP. They don't have what. You know, these are the people who sold their image to Disney, you know, the cute little Mounties in the red suits.
They always get their man.
What credibility does the RCMP have left to be a law enforcement agency? Law enforcement is supposed to enforce the law even on those high up in the political and economic echelon. But no, it's really a political enforcement agency. And the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, another crown agency. I mean, is it really telling us the news, or is it simply doing the bidding of its political paymasters, the Stephen Harper government, who embraced and wined and dined Stephen Harper, or George W. Bush? And incidentally, Calgary is in Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister's home bailiwick, the political base of the very, you know, the U.S. comprador government that rules Canada, the so-called Conservative Party, the political base of that party, Jason Kenney, the immigration minister, the prime minister himself, Stephen Harper, that's in Calgary. So there was a lot of politics going on when George Bush was on this turf here.
Yeah. By the way, Tony, I'm in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
I live just south of Ottawa.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in the Canadian Action Party, the only truth party in Canada.
Okay.
Sorry,
I just got the idea that it was a U.S.-based...
Well, it is a U.S. station. It's out in Northern California, but
yeah.
I'm in Ottawa, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I must say, boy, I have a lot of respect for Splitting the Sky standing up there. He's the only, like, he's a warrior. Like, that's a spiritual warrior is how I saw him. And all these police who now have become complicit in themselves in criminal activities.
I mean,
he was the only one who spoke the truth. And it's going to be like it's going to be illegal to speak the truth anymore.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that you have a person who spent half his life in penitentiary as the custodian, as the upholder of the rule of law?
Yeah.
One of the things that was going on is Splitting the Sky, because of his history in the Attica prison event in 1971. His case became very, very contested and very high profile. And one of his lawyers was Ramsey Clark, former Attorney General of the United States. And I've talked to Ramsey a few times in the course of this event. But in any case, Splitting the Sky came in with a letter that, with a communique that the former Attorney General of the United States had written, congratulating us on our action. Interestingly, on March the 16th, we conducted a video conference, a press conference, And in attendance was CTV, a reporter. The reporter seemed like she was about maybe 15 years old, and a camera person. And there was also a camera person for the TV network called Global. And Splitting the Sky spoke, and he read out the letter from Ramsey Clark, and that was a rather significant event. I spoke, and I drew attention to the paper that I'd done. Peggy Askin, she was in the press conference as well. So, you know, the logic, if we had a real media that told the story, would be that CTV, for instance, would have explained, as Splitting the Sky was arrested, and here they're sitting on all of this tape, where Splitting the Sky the previous day in a relaxed environment as he's conducting a press conference explains why he's in Calgary, how he's has the backing of the former Attorney General of the United States, all the political background and context to this. Does CTV run that tape? No. Is CTV essentially an agency of the police? Well, our experience from Gustafson Lake, the Indian War that happened in 1995, it's pretty well impossible to distinguish the RCMP from BCTV, the CTV television network. Then after, we put two and two together on how things operate, the former premier of British Columbia, which is a very big and important province in Canada, the westernmost province, kind of our equivalent of California, the premier of British Columbia, the RCMP and BCTV worked together. They kept looking for dirt on Clark, who was an NDP, a left-wing premier. All they could find was this porch that somebody had apparently built for him who was seeking a casino license or something. That's
so
the extent of the dirt that they could find. Anyway,
yeah.
The CTV and the RCMP go to his house. He's charged at his house, and then the CTV film him in his kitchen as he's, has great anxiety. So, there's a very obvious example of CTV and the police working together. So this collusion of the police and the media, where they're basically the same, that was obviously operating in Calgary on March the 17th, and we need to get that story out.
Yeah, the media are pathological liars. I mean, they are. They completely lie and spin and provide disinformation about every major international event, every one.
Well, I'm a full professor at a Canadian university, and one of the first things I try to convey to my students is that, if you want to be informed, don't look at the mainstream media. In fact, the mainstream media these days is toxic, is bad for your health.
Yeah.
And, their distribution figures like Canwest Global, for instance, are falling and plummeting. And so they should, because they have no credibility. They're propagandists for aggressive war.
No, one thing that I'd like to point out is if we ever in Canada can actually enforce our own anti-terrorist legislation, all the assets of all the corporate media across Canada would be seized by the government for their contribution to the terrorist agenda in Canada. Like, all the assets of all of these people should be seized and returned to the people of Canada. They've all been complicit in this. They're actively complicit. They actually help stage events. They're all scripted ahead of time.
Yeah.
They don't report any news. It's all geared. It's complete propaganda. I turn on CNN. It's like a joke. It's a soap opera. You can often tell. You can tell things are deviant by their reporting. You can tell that, there's something else going on here. You can tell it from how they report the news. Because they come out, the Mumbai attacks come, and you just see how they, within 15 minutes, it's a branch of Al-Qaeda, but really it was, Israeli operatives and foreign operatives.
It was a CIA asset. I did track down the story, and they all know it in India.
Yeah.
That it's not, this boogeyman that has been created called Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a fraud. No, the media is totally complicit. They're part of what's been done to us. I mean, we've been intentionally dummied down through the media.
And of course,
people need to be held accountable.
the part of it that has changed now is that we have the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly there's not that big a percentage of the population that is in a position to use the internet, you know, to get deeper information and interpretation and analysis. But for a significant minority of the population, we are using the internet in that way. And just like we're doing right now, you know, the determination is to say, well, we'll create alternative media sources. We'll be the media.
Yeah.
Mark Brinkman in Edmonton 9/11 Truth is, you know, very outspoken in this. And so these mainstream media sources sort of act as if they can get away with that they have some kind of monopoly on the public story, but they don't anymore. And you know, and the police act as if we can't put two and two together. And you know, many people, like you say, it has been dumbed down, and a big part of the population is living in a fantasy world of, created by these public relations agencies. You know, maybe they're suffering from pharmaceutical drugs or attention deficit disorder. You know, you can see a huge part of the population is in no position to be putting together deeper analysis
from the internet.
People can't
grasp it, and then they're overwhelmed by it all, because it's like, you know, you learn about a crime, you think, well, we call the police, but then you realize the police are completely corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the higher levels of the RCMP, they all know 9/11 was a fraud. They all know the media is a fraud. They're all complicit in it. It's like we have to have public inquiries. You know, this last summer at the CAP convention, I put forward a resolution stating how the RCMP and CSIS and military intelligence have all been part of deceiving the Canadian public,
mm-hmm.
as to the causes of the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So really, they all need to be investigated. I mean, we need honorable men and women in our services. And what's been done, these people are traitors. They've engaged in treasonous activities. They've created this big war on Muslims. They blame Muslims and Arabs. This whole thing has been concocted, and it's completely phony.
Yeah, and it's a ruthless thing. It's actually generating and promoting religious warfare.
Yeah.
In the 21st century. And
yeah.
You know, we're told, oh no, it's not against all Arabs or all Muslims. It's against a very small percentage. But no, you do have agencies. You have spin doctoring, who says, well, the actual violence might be done by a small group, but it is something inherent and deep-rooted in the whole Arab and Muslim world.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
It is.
It's the basis of how you prepare a population for genocide. I mean,
yeah.
We saw how the Germans did it in World War II, or leading up to World War II. How do you prepare people to look at other people in such a dehumanized way, in such a demonized way, that when you start to do invasions and kill millions of them, it's made to seem normal. It's made to seem acceptable. I mean, it's a ruthless form of propaganda that has been, you know, that we're seeing at the highest level up. I mean, Goebbels and what was done in that era is, you know, that was just starters for what we have now.
I have a question I've been meaning to. I heard on RBN Network on one point that someone said the motto of the Mossad is "Through deception we wage war," and I thought, wow, that is exactly through deception we wage war. Like the whole deception of 9/11, and then it's blamed on Muslims and Arabs, had nothing to do with them. I mean, the only ones really caught on the day associated with it was Israelis. The film crew who later claimed on public Israeli TV that they had been sent over to America to videotape it. They said that on public TV.
Yeah, well, I find myself very wary of all this, because I, you know, what is the truth and what are the psychops, and, you know, this effort to make anybody who asks questions about 9/11 to make them appear anti-Semitic. I'd like to tell, if I could, do we have time to tell to relate what happened to me in Winnipeg on
yeah,
March
please
the
go
6th,
ahead, yeah.
On March the 6th, when I gave the paper, the paper's called Bush League Justice, Should George W. Bush Be Arrested in Calgary, Alberta, and Tried for International Crimes? And, you know, it's easy to find on the Internet, on many, many sites. But when I introduced this paper on March the 6th, I'd been invited by the sociology department at the University of Winnipeg to make a presentation. So I had enough time to write this paper. I changed my topic, and so I presented this paper on March the 6th. I've been coming in and out of Winnipeg fairly frequently because I had been on the content advisory board for something called the Canadian Museum for Human Rights. That is the brainchild of Izzy Asper, who founded the Global CanWest Communications Empire. And he wanted to have a Canadian Holocaust Museum. And then little by little, the idea was shifted that we would have a Canadian Museum for Human Rights and touch many bases. So, interestingly, this is coming out of Winnipeg. And it's the Asper Foundation, Gail Asper and others who have played a major role in it. And I was invited onto the content advisory board we met actually in the boardroom of CanWest Global, and I was giving advice among others to this Applebaum Associates in New York, the U.S.-based company, the New York-based company that is designing the internal aspect of this museum, the actual content of the museum. In December of 2008, this Blackrod figure, and an anonymous blogger by the name of Blackrod, wrote a hit piece on me saying, advisor to the Canadian Museum for Human Rights is anti-Zionist. Anyway, that article was based on my effort to get into the Leslie Hughes affair. Leslie Hughes, and if Canadian Action Party, you'll be well familiar with what happened during the last federal election, where Leslie Hughes was a Liberal candidate in Winnipeg. She is the former host of the CBC morning show. For 10 years she was the host. She's a very mainstream figure in Winnipeg. Blackrod wrote this anonymous blogger wrote a piece on her saying that she'd written something about 9/11 in 2002. And immediately, Jonathan Kay at the National Post took up this story. Then the Liberal Party was pressured to disqualify her as a candidate. The Liberal Party said it would follow the lead of the Canadian Jewish Congress. They
yeah.
did disqualify her as a candidate. There are many elements to this, and I'm trying to put together the pieces of this. So please bear with me. I'm headed to Winnipeg on March the 6th. But this anonymous blogger called Blackrod, you know, who has no accountability for his, her, their positions, put this hit on Leslie Hughes, and she is essentially beat up in the public square by the Liberal Party of Canada, by the National Post, by the Conservative Government of Canada, by the Canadian government. And, you know, I took an interest in this, and I wrote about it at the time it was happening. So Blackrod reads what I write about Leslie Hughes, writes a hit piece on me, and you can find that on the net. So to me, this is a smoking gun, the fact that, you know, in journalism, in politics, it's all about sources. If you have a professional assassination job being done by somebody without a name, without any accountability, and all these mainstream media sources just jump on it, and the political elite of the country just jump on it, and you know, it's a bit startling to find myself now in the targets of this same anonymous blogger. So
yeah,
flash
and
forward,
they pay these people. Like, these people are usually paid disinformation.
Yeah, it does strike me that this
it.
Is a contract kind of job.
Yeah.
So flash forward to March the 6th. There I am with my new paper, Bush League Justice, Should George W. Bush Be Arrested and Tried for International Crimes? So I deliver this paper. Then as I'm leaving the hall, there's a journalist right up front. She describes herself as a journalist, Rhonda Spivak. She's carried with her a swastika. And I see, you know, my host, Heidi Rimka, Dr. Rimka, I see this paper being waved around her, and then suddenly she's not there anymore. In fact, what happens is she's off crying somewhere. I mean, she's so traumatized by what happened. I get out of the classroom, and I'm surrounded. I'm ambushed by a number of people, three of which are more or less they're accosting me. They're waving, especially Rhonda. She starts it, Spivak. She waves this swastika in front of me. She says, you know, Dr. Hall, do you know what the swastika is? Yes, I know what the swastika is. It's a terrible symbol. You know, it speaks of something really awful. But the swastika, I did recognize it. It was a stylized swastika with different flags, bullets. It comes from the site Montreal 9/11 Truth, and it is a logo for a movie, and that movie deals with the allegation that a Israeli security company was hired to do security for the Montreal transit system.
Yeah.
That security company was in fact trying to set up a false flag operation, an alleged terrorist event. In order to, you know, build up the fear, and that's the allegation in the movie. So I recognize.
Yeah, like they were the security company in charge of the London subway system when they had the false flag events in London.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the same company.
It is the same company.
Yeah. So anyway, there were
a lot of confidence, eh?
There were three major inquisitors. And, you know, my host was drawn away. I was supposed to go to a reception, but I didn't know where to go. I mean, you know, I didn't know where the room was. And suddenly this, you know, I'm surrounded. I can't really move. I'm blocked in. And suddenly it's like this court takes place. It starts with this swastika being waved in front of me, and at the same time a microphone is being put in front of me. At my mouth and said, you know, well, talk to us about the swastika. Do you know what it means? And then the allegation is that something I had written had appeared on this site, Montreal 9/11 Truth, and it was beside the swastika. So the basic assumption, you know, the inquisition begins with, you know, we found your article on a site with the swastika. So therefore, you are associated with the swastika. Do you have anything to say about this?
And of course, it's so pathetic what they try to do. Yeah.
Well, you know, this has now become an article. Yeah. Now the article has been commented on by the head of the Jewish Federation of Winnipeg, Mr. Friedman, who says Robert Friedman, who says, you know, I'm not a real academic. I'm under the guise of being an academic. I've got some get out of jail card free. In other words, I belong in prison. I'm an anti-Semite. I mean, you know, these people weren't there to comment on the paper I'd just given, the presentation I'd just given, on anything I'd actually written. It was, you know, complete effort to get me to somehow incriminate myself. I mean, you know, you're in a situation like that, you might say something intemperate. Anyway, there was a group of people involved. Lloyd Axworthy is president of the University of Winnipeg, and there is some kind of investigation into this. Interestingly, there was no security available, and interestingly,
yeah.
It took place during the week of Israeli anti-apartheid, the Israeli anti-apartheid week, and Lloyd Axworthy had sent out a notice that there should be heightened security and heightened consideration for sensitivities in academic discourse. It's been brought to my attention that this is in fact an effort to strangle my freedom of expression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's a very serious issue. It's not something that one can easily deal with once you get this label of being anti-Semitic. You know, it affects your relationships
Can I just recount an experience I had in Ottawa? I went out to, a coalition, Council of Canada, symposium against the SPP, and I was out at this, and I attended this, workshop there. And at one point, like in my comments, I said 9/11 was an inside job. Like, how could people, how we had to face this as a fact, you know, and this Jewish fellow afterwards came up to me and kind of said, oh, you must be, when I was saying that we were talking about it, and he says, oh, you must be anti-Semitic. And I hadn't even said who did it. I hadn't said anything. All I just said, you know, was that obviously something more was involved. And right away, oh, you're anti-Semitic, you know. I hadn't said anything about anyone Jewish. It's just what they, it's their trump card. When they don't know what to say, they say, oh, you're anti-Semitic.
I mean, it's getting rather pathetic that, you know, and as far as I know, what happened in Germany and throughout Europe, culminating in the Second World War and the internment and murdering of millions of Jews, plus Slavs and, homosexuals and gypsies and, as far as I know, this regime was a right-wing regime that committed these gross acts of violence and genocide against humanity. And we never want to see anything that like that repeated. And to see proponents of the far right, people like Jason Kenney, who are on the far right of the political spectrum, using this phrase anti-Semitism as if they're protecting that heritage and that all that is embodied in that terrible history, as if those on the far right will use this to say that people who are liberals or social democrats or even socialists, those in the middle of the political spectrum or often to the left of the political spectrum, for those on the far right to use this word is, you know, just a monstrosity and a violation of anybody's, you know, anybody with a real knowledge of history. And it's really pathetic that this word is used so carelessly and so ubiquitously and so ruthlessly. And it seems to me it demeans the terrible memory, the memory of the millions of people who were killed and murdered and all the violations to the ethnicities, to the families, to those who suffered this onslaught, to have that word exploited now to advance a very right-wing extremist fascistic-like agenda is really gross and I think is a terrible violation of history.
I mean, yeah, it's a complete fraud. I mean, firstly, aren't Arab and Muslim people are Semites, aren't they?
Well,
this is
all a problematic thing, and I'm not going to. It's not my field. I'm not going to. But I know what you're getting at. Like,
well, no,
you know,
I think
Palestinians
are
Semites. You know, many of the people in the Arab world are Semites. It's obviously a very problematic term.
I mean, it's interesting. I don't understand this all, but a lot of people say that, like, the Zionist cartel behind all of this is like what Kessler referred to as the 13th tribe. And that they're Khazars and they're not of the original 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, I don't understand all that history.
Well, you know, I'm not going to really go there. You know, obviously I'm very, you know, I'm walking on these things, as if I'm walking on eggshells. But, you know, it needs to be emphasized that, for instance, the Protocols of the Zion Elders was published by Henry Ford. Henry Ford, the biggest industrialist of the United States, was of his day, was in the, you know, the most famous and celebrated industrialist of his day, the inventor of the assembly line. He was a major supporter of Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler had a picture of Henry Ford in his Munich office. Third Reich was supported, you know, not only by Henry Ford, who got it going and who published his views in the Dearborn Independent and had it translated into German and published throughout Germany, that publication being The International Jew, the World's Biggest Problem. I mean, where do we see the legacy of Ford really being focused on? The legacy of General Motors, which is much in the move. The legacy of IBM. The legacy of General Electric. I mean, these were companies that built up the war machine of Nazi Germany. IG Auschwitz started as a private company transforming coal into jet aviation fuel. They needed slaves to work on it. IG Farben had partnerships with many companies, but was really backed by the Rockefellers of Standard Oil. So when we, you know, when we come
and the
to
Bush
terms,
family, the Prescott
and of course
Bush.
The Prescott Bush was a middle manager and you know, putting the money from Wall Street into building up the German war machine. Schacht was not convicted at Nuremberg. All of the financiers and industrialists behind the German war machine, most of them got a free pass because they needed those people as the Cold War got going. They needed the German financiers, the Japanese financiers. So
they also wanted to treat this history as
a cartoon history and not get into who really was responsible for those terrible crimes against humanity, and aren't those same interests those who are now using this memory in such a hideous way? A few days after the Blackrod's article came out on me, I was not renewed in the content advisory board of the Canadian Museum for Human Rights. Well, this Canadian Museum for Human Rights, which is connected to CanWest Global and the Aspers, will this be a tool to co-opt the language of human rights in a very unseemly way? I mean, what credibility does the Canadian Museum for Human Rights have given its association with that media conglomerate, which doesn't embody human rights, which is the main public relations agency, and is essentially created Stephen Harper, who is showing his it's an embarrassment to Canada. Canada used to be associated with peacekeepers and moderation, keeping out Galloway, George Galloway, who's speaking to us by video conference from the United States. In other words, he's acceptable. The right wing lunacy of that we saw in the Bush regime is being exceeded now by the Harper regime.
Yeah, we're certainly under the same control by the same cabal of people. I mean, these people are international in their dealings, and it's so disheartening to see that this criminality has taken over Canada, as it has the other countries of the world. I mean, it's overwhelming, really, and so much is based on lies.
But it's the financial crisis. It's coming to light. I mean, and public opinion is shifting, and the elites who could get away with anything now, there is a small but growing group of informed people who just won't put up with this anymore. And it's important to realize the moment where we are in history and to take appropriate action, because this moment isn't going to come back again.
We need the honorable men and women in the RCMP and CSIS and the military to take control here. We need these people to stand up.
Yeah, and there must be many honorable men and women in the RCMP.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
And there are honorable men and women in the universities, and there are honorable men and women who work for these media conglomerates. We need to back each other up, and we need to realize that this is really coming down to the crunch here. Are you aiding and abetting international war crimes, or are you standing for the rule of law? And if governments and those responsible for upholding the rule of law won't do so, in fact they spit on the rule of law, where does that leave citizens? Where does that leave honorable people, for instance, within the RCMP? Now, one thing came very clear, standing outside the TELUS Convention Center, with all those police protecting, those entering, those who paid $400 to get in, that, these street police, they have the power to arrest people. I mean, the Nuremberg principles made it very clear that simply following orders is no defense.
Yeah.
If those orders call upon you to commit international crimes or to be complicit in international crimes, to aid and abet international crimes, to say that you have no choice because your chain of command is ordering you to do so, that is no defense. So whether it be in the media conglomerates, in the police, it's time for people to come awake and to say, you know, I am not, to make it clear up the chain of command that individuals are not going to be pressured and co-opted and bludgeoned into becoming complicit in international crimes.
Yeah, and they already are, and it's so overwhelming. There are so many people who have maintained their silence and have become complicit. I mean, the media is totally accessories after the fact, the mass murder of their own citizens.
Yeah, I mean, how could the media begin to start telling the story of 9/11 with the mainstream media so deeply involved in the cover-up, in creating the public mythology that allowed the cover-up to stay in place? Like, what mainstream media venue could start? But then, you know, you have the reality that these institutions, you know, they depend upon large numbers of people being susceptible to being bossed and censored and whatnot. And what happens if people working for those institutions, individuals of conscious, honorable men and women, just start saying, no, enough is enough? And I think that's what we've got to try to promote. And, you know, I know when Josh Blakeney and I were talking, you know, to face-to-face with some of these police guarding that doorway, you know, the effort is try to recognize there's a human being here. There is a conscious, thinking person there, and we've got to try to appeal to people's higher sense of purpose and justice and decency and common humanity.
Yeah, I know when they had the big demonstration here in Ottawa two summers ago against the SPP, and I was out at that, and there were police lined up all along the parade or the march route, and I was going up to the police and saying, come on, you guys, 9/11 was an inside job. You guys are protecting the terrorists. That's what you're doing. You're protecting the terrorists. Mm-hmm. And as going along, all the police trying to wake them up. And it was funny because I could see one of the captains there of his men. He was kind of laughing because he knew I was right. I mean, that's what the police do. They protect the terrorists now. They don't ever catch them. You know,
well,
they think war on terror, you know, and they never catch anyone other than poor little kids they set up in, like in Toronto.
Like the Toronto 18.
Yeah, like how disgusting. And then they have to have a secret trial, because if the trial were open to the public, we'd find that the RCMP would start being arrested.
Kiefer says that one of the people who set that up got $4.3 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's what our tax money is going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
the whole thing was a fraud, and then the Montebello, they had an incident there. It was a fraud.
That's you know, we know that goes on again and again and again, but it was caught red-handed at Montebello, and I think we caught it red-handed at Calgary too, but we haven't brought it out yet. But
yeah,
but
it was funny. I was at Montebello that day among the crowd, and when those three guys came in, I could see them coming through the crowd, and I could just tell looking at them, all these guys, you know, they're among them, you know,
up at Orsonville, I could see guys, you know, dressed in new black jeans and hoodies, and you know, my guess is that they were actually the inmates of Orsonville. You know, Orsonville was cleaned out in 2001 during the FTAA protests, and that they were getting some special consideration if they would go amongst the protesters and try to create havoc and try to do violence. But, I did tell that CTV reporter that the CTV tape of splitting this guy the day before his arrest, the tape that CTV probably delivered to the police and was covered up and hasn't come out to this day, you know, the issue of violence came up. And I said, look, if any violence is committed, it's most likely going to be coming from the police. And, of course, that gave the journalist quite a scare.
That was usually the case at
Montebello, and it's just got to stop. That collusion between police and media, you know, is absolutely fascistic, and it breaks public respect for the police and the media, and, obviously for you, there isn't a shred or an iota of respect left. These institutions can only operate with some degree of public, support from the public. And let's appeal to the decent, honorable men and women in the police, in the media, to stop accepting orders, violating the Nuremberg principles to aid and abet international crimes.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to move along to the next phase here. It's Christopher Holmes, right?
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your bravery in trying to face this. I can't believe how few academics are speaking out. It's like, where are all our professionals, you know? And the doctors don't speak out, and I'm a psychologist, the Psychologist Association, no one says anything.
Yeah. We do have a process, you know, there's the trial of splitting the sky in Calgary. There's some kind of meeting on April the 16th. And Lloyd Axworthy is overseeing some kind of process at the University of Winnipeg. And there is the Dean, David Fitzpatrick, and Laurel Repsky are accepting interventions because it has been acknowledged as an unfortunate incident at the University of Winnipeg. And so if we can't get protection from universities that employ us, and so here's a very clear example where I accept an invitation. It's kind of an honor to go there and speak, and I come out kind of bloodied with this allegation that I'm somehow associated with the swastika, how did this happen, and how where was the security, for instance? Given that it was, there was supposedly a high alert. If there had been the security around, I definitely would have said, help me out. I need to go to the bathroom or something. I mean, I was in a sense trapped. So if universities, the administrations of universities won't create decent environments for some kind of degree of protection, so we can have these crucial discussions among intellectuals. If it's just a free-for-all, it's a really bad situation. So here's the situation at the University of Winnipeg. Professor McQueen has intervened. Professor Kiefer has intervened. I suspect that there are a lot of professors maybe on the verge of wanting to get involved. But then when they see the kind of situation I'm dealing with, that might prevent them from taking a stand in their own right. So we've got a bit of a test case here, and splitting the skies, outright criminalization in that process, and the effort to kind of intellectually criminalize me in the academy. I appreciate this opportunity to explain at some length. It takes a little bit of explaining to do. If we could unmask who this Black Rod is, for instance, that would be a great step. If we could figure out is the relationship between CanWest Global, which is based in Winnipeg, and all of this, my sense is we're getting close in, and that's why people are beginning to panic and overreact. And
I do think these people, they've been exposed more than, they've been exposed more than they wanted. Too many people are waking up and seeing it.
Yeah. And
they're
so
scared. They should be scared.
They've
become so involved. And I feel sorry for them, because most of them get involved and they didn't really realize all what was entailed.
Yeah, maybe they've been given disinformation, or they've been misled to some extent. And obviously it's very awkward, in Winnipeg especially. I mean, you have this very fantastic, rich, diverse Jewish community. It's one of the oldest Jewish communities in Canada, and a lot of the progressive movement in Winnipeg and in Canada is, you know, draws energy from that community. And obviously the progressive community in Winnipeg is crippled right now. It's disabled. There's something very, very sad about it. So there's victims on all sides, and so I did find myself in Winnipeg saying, you know, sort of going back to the 60s, you know, where's the love, man? Like, yeah, we brand everybody a Zionist, an anti-Zionist, an anti-Semite, a sovereigntist, a separatist. Everybody's getting branded. I mean, at this moment, we need to be pulling together as humanity, as people, and getting over the way that all this wedge, electioneering, the way that we just keep getting divided and doled out by power brokers from above. I mean, we really need to find ways to join together and then not label one another and give each other some latitude and respect one another, even love one another.
If you go to my website, Tony, that one of the first links on my website is a link to the song "Where Is the Love" by Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, that's good, man.
That is such a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so crazy what's being done. It doesn't benefit anyone. Like,
yeah.
Jewish people aren't served by this being done. It's a dishonor. It dishonors Jewish people. And the people of Israel, they're terrorized by their own government. They have a police state government there.
There's lots and lots of peaceniks in Israel.
Say again?
We've got to keep reminding ourselves of that.
That which?
And, you know, some of the most pro-Palestinian, righteous defenders of Palestinians I've ever met are Jewish.
Yeah. No, I don't
think the refuseniks and even some of the soldiers who will not serve in the occupied territory or Gaza. I mean, they make the point. He says, look, I'm no peace activist. I'm a Zionist, actually, but we have to live in this neighborhood. And if we treat our neighbors this way, it's disastrous for us to live in this neighborhood. These are Zionists. So even that term is, you know, I think problematic. I mean, there's great diversity within every label that we put on people.
Yeah, I think it always moves me so much to see Jewish groups who are speaking out. Like, you have the NION group, the Not In Our Name group, and you have the Canadian Jewish Women, I think one of their groups.
Yeah.
Like, this
I'd
is
like
so
to hear
important.
Judy Rebick speak on some of these issues.
Say again?
I'd like to see Judy Rebick speak on, you know, for instance, what happened in Calgary. Judy Rebick, you know, she was one of the group of Jewish and Israeli women who occupied the Israeli consulate in Toronto.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And but you know, let's connect the issues. I don't know. There's something about this 9/11 issue that makes people wary. A lot of people on the left wary.
I think as people wake up to what's been done, there is going to be a lot of anger at elements within the Jewish community, but we have not to paint any people with one brush.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to be discriminating. The people who did these things are criminals first.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are Jewish, some of them are British, some of them are Canadian, you know.
Well, the way I look at it, what we need is economic analysis. Like, 9/11 had an economic dynamic. It changed the global economy. And part of the outcome of it was to demonize Arab and Muslim people. And to get this debate, oh, was it the Muslims? No, was it the Jews? No, was it the I mean, it seems to me that plays into a certain hand. Like, let's put aside religion and ethnicity to the extent we can.
Yeah.
The media keeps telling us, look there, it's all about tension. No, let's look at the economics. Let's look at the economic motivations of that crime and who benefited. I mean, you usually start with, in investigating a crime with the very basic premise, well, who benefited from this crime? It's pretty clear who benefited from 9/11,
it
and it's largely a business? You know, was Wall Street just the victim here, or does a lot of the responsibility one way or other go back to Wall Street?
Yeah, well, they certainly destroyed all the files against the Wall Street criminal racketeers in Building 7. They did a good job with that. It's so horrendous what's been done to us as peoples around the world by these groups. The only solution is like more and more people have to wake up and that we experience a moral outrage at what's been done. Like, why are people not morally outraged by what's been done? You know, we've murdered, like, going on 2 million people in the Middle East and the terrible, terrible things that we've done. And we're supposed to be Christian nation. It breaks my heart. I can't believe the madness. I don't know if you heard my intro rant about waking up and realizing that I'm in an insane asylum.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what it's like. It's so terrible, and it serves no one. Yeah. All are punished, you know, as Shakespeare says, you know.
And yet, you know, I find this 9/11 issue, you know, it causes me to meet wonderful people, and it affirms a lot of things, you know, that there are discriminating, thoughtful, intelligent people with courage, with principles, with conviction. When I first sort of faced it back last two springs ago, I mean, I was like literally sick for a couple of days. You know, it's a hard news to absorb. It's very bad news. Then you come through it, and then you do lose friends. You lose people who you know, just can't go there, and yet you do make new friends, and you do start to be able to relate, as we've been doing over this more than 1 hour. And it's
most people don't enough have courage in a way. Like, it's so monstrous. It's like one has to have courage to stick in it. Like, I found, like, you know, first I'm horrified really realizing 9/11 is a complete fraud. Then I realized, oh, London train bombings, Oklahoma City, all these things have been
Toronto
fraud.
18.
It just gets worse and worse and worse.
Mumbai.
And then you realize, I go outside and, oh, they're spraying me with chemtrails from the sky. Mm-hmm. You know, all these criminal things being done everywhere.
And then you try to talk about it, and then this word conspiracy theory. And
oh, yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, it's so funny.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's weird at the universities. I mean, we do theories there. That's what we do at universities.
Yeah.
And the idea that, do people ever, who share common interests, ever try to advance their interests? In other words, conspire to advance their interests? Well, yes, it happens all the time. And yet, you know, you put these two words together, conspiracy theory, and, you know, it's just a conversation stopper. It's just a put down. Now, how did that happen? How did that meme?
Yeah, that was intentional. That's, they have certain, the people who are the disinfo agents have certain things, like one of their cards is, oh, you must be anti-Semitic. And then the next is, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. I mean, if anyone is not a conspiracy theorist, you're an idiot. Because all of history is made up of conspiracies. Like, just study history. How can you not be a conspiracy theorist? History's full of conspiracies.
Yeah. So
you know,
right away,
always
you're
was, always is.
You're thinking, you know, Elvis is still alive and,
they put it in the same category, and then they want to wrap it around with a few aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those are more far out, but there's no doubt about 9/11. Like, the truth is there.
Well,
now,
there's lots of
not
doubt.
That
like,
wouldn't.
I don't know what happened on 9/11. I know it was controlled demolition.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of the information not available. Even on the partial information, though, I certainly know that the official conspiracy theory is not plausible. It's not credible.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. There's not one part of the official story that actually stands up to any scrutiny whatsoever. And, you know, but if you don't believe it, just take a couple hours and go on the internet or buy the books. And,
yeah, there's overwhelming evidence. It's all there in the public domain.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the work of David Hawkins?
No.
Oh, goodness. He's a forensic economist out of BC.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a site, go to www.captainsherlock.com.
Yeah.
And he does what you say about looking at the economics of 9/11, and he has a whole other angle on everything. I don't myself know how to evaluate his work, but his claims and such are shocking. He takes the analysis of 9/11 to a whole different level.
Yeah, David Hawkins.
Yeah.
Is he a prof?
He's worked in the oil industry. He works with this other Field McConnell, who was an aviator and pilot.
Yeah.
And they have a Hawks Cafe he runs. And it all ties into what a Tontine insurance scams and how the insurance companies made millions and billions on all the deaths of the employees of the towers. And it's very complicated. I don't grasp it. And I don't know how to evaluate what he's saying, but clearly no one in our country has made a sincere effort to seek out the true terrorists. They've become complicit in camouflaging their identities.
Power to the Canadian Action Party and Hope Connie Fogel as well, and I'll be. Thank goodness you're there. Thank goodness that party is there. And, cause, you know, Ignatieff, with his, theories of, you know, when he's a Harvard professor about, you know, American Empire, get used to it, you know, an apologist for the American Empire.
Oh.
I mean, it's frustrating, you know, the two main parties, the two mainstream parties, we have a choice between two U.S. agents, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys, they all attend the Bilderberg groups before they become PMs. And, I mean, Chrétien, Martin, Harper, all of these people, they go to the Bilderberg groups. They go to the Council on Foreign Relations.
When do I get my invitation?
Sorry? When do you get yours? Yeah.
So we call it a day there?
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony, and thank you for your work. You know, this is just so important. We have to take our countries back, and this is a worldwide movement, and, you know, we need soldiers like you out there.
I'm a newcomer to 9/11 Truth, and I see it as a quest for 9/11 Truth. We don't really have all the truth. We're seeking it, and once we start to seek truth, be nice to do it on a number of fronts, on a number of issues.
It'll all unravel very quickly,
yeah,
if we ever regain control, like if the police ever decide to do their work again.
If you have a pencil there, or pen.
I do.
The articles to date have been, it started with, in September of 2008, the lies and crimes of 9/11. That phrase we'll Google into it, but it's, a Canadian view of the war on terror's origins, the lies and crimes of 9/11, a Canadian view of the war on terror's origins. I go by Anthony J. Hall, although you call me Tony, and that's just fine.
Okay.
Tony is short for Anthony, but Anthony J. Hall, the lies and crimes of 9/11, a Canadian view of the war on terror's origins. Then the Leslie Hughes affair led me to write a clash of conspiracy theories. A clash of conspiracy theories. And Blackrod, in his article, branding me as an anti-Zionist, basically takes reference to that article, the clash of conspiracy theories. Then when I went to the websites of the Conservative Party, and I started to see the outrageous statements, especially of Peter Kent, who's now Minister of Hemispheric Affairs, Peter Kent, the former journalist, CBC and global journalist, refers to the 9/11 truth movement as notorious for its anti-Semitism. And there's phrases like that caused me to think, you know, this is essentially hate speech.
It is.
They're not saying this individual said such and such a thing, therefore this individual is anti-Semitic. They're saying anybody associated with this movement asking these questions is notorious for their anti-Semitism. And that is exactly, seems to me, what hate speech is all about, where you jump on a few situations, and then you generalize it to a whole group of people and try to depict them as. I call it hate speech as political rhetoric. Hate speech as political rhetoric.
Yeah.
And then came Bush League Justice. Should George W. Bush be arrested in Calgary, Alberta, and tried for international crimes? So that's my that's my body of work so far since September. And then, of course, I'm working on Volume 2 of my big project, The Bowl with One Spoon. The Volume 1 is called The American Empire and the Fourth World. And Volume 2, you know, I've had to rework considerable parts of it given the revelations that I've had about 9/11. That volume, but it's not a 9/11 book, it's a big sweeping book. It's called Earth into Property, Aboriginal History and the Making of Global Capitalism. I'm trying to get that out maybe as early as next autumn with McGill Queen's University Press. So that's give you an idea.
Yeah, we just have to pray that people are putting it together. We're waking up, and we need to do that collectively.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you for taking the chances and risks you've taken to be a soldier of truth out there, Tony.
I have
to let you go because we're right down to the last moments.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, cheerio, and look forward to chatting with you again.
Yeah, keep the faith.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, bye, Tony.
Bye now.